Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Brother Emmett Overton. We want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We are on 24 hours a day. Give some information out to those who are listening here for the first time. We have a copyright infragmentation, and we have the permission from Derek Prince Ministries to stream. And the New Zealand office did not know me, and they reversed the copyright in fragments, and that's where we at to try to get back on air. It's an assault and an attack on the deliverance ministry. A lot of people who are teaching the uncompromised word of God on YouTube are going through this, so I'm not the only one. So I ask that you pray for me, and I thank you for Brother Paul, who's been with us for about 14 years, and he knows deliverance. He's learning to speak live, but he's got that down too. God's going to work with him. We know him very well. I know him enough that I don't have to listen to every word he says because I know him. He comes to get deliverance with us. He's been with us for 14 years. We're going to have one praise and worship song. As you hear this song, please pray. You got to pray for your deliverance. You got to do a lot of praying. And pray. Get on your knees. Listen to these lyrics, and then we're going to bring in Brother Paul.
So many roads right there before me. Looks enticing, but I know that's not what God wants for me. Won't go no further unless I know He's leading me. Took 5 steps forward, but lost and stared because of me. I made a decision that my life is gonna be about God. I may not be famous, 'cause I wanna sing a righteous song. Don't worry about me, my problems won't be money. It's better to please God than having everyone bowing at my feet. So I'm going down on my knee, I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free. I feel free. I feel free. When you're in my life, Lord, I feel free. Oh yeah. Back in the days, righteousness was thou shalt not. But now in these days we sing, and now it's hard to stop. You got your breakthrough, but few days later you're back. Because you didn't feed your spirit and flesh was all you got. I made a decision, gotta lose some of my friends. Change my number, that life has come to an end. Can't listen no more to those songs that's fighting against my spirit. I'm walking away, and I'm not looking back.
Praise God. We need to pray. Prayer is very, very important for not only for your deliverance, for a lot of things. I want to make a special announcement for the United States. I am listening worldwide, but there's something on my heart. There is a lion spirit in a political party. Both parties are having lion spirit. Both parties that run the United States, the Democrats, the Dixiecrats, and the slave whoppers, the Republicans. The Dixiecrats and the slave whoppers. Both parties are demonic. We have to pray for America. We have division in America. We have a former president that's continued to lie, continued to spread a lie. 2 Kings 22:22, God has put a lying spirit in the mouth of him. I don't know why, but my heart hurts to see this lie constantly being perpetrated in the United States. And there are secretaries of state that's running for office that believe that this president we have now is illegal, from another president who spearheaded a lie because of narcissism and the spirit of Leviathan in him and hate. We had a crossroad in America, and people can't keep looking ahead and say, oh, well, it's not going to affect us. We need to pray for this country because America's going through some judgment. Look at the fires. Look at the hurricanes. Look at the hotels, how they're crumbling. Look at the pipe systems in Detroit where the water's not fresh. We have lots of problems in the United States. I'm an American, but I have two citizenships. Thank God. Some of you not as blessed the way I am. Some of you may say, well, why would he call it being blessed over in Jamaica? Jamaica has its problems too. Every nation has a problem, but because I live in Jamaica, I don't talk about it. No, I'm not going to talk about this country. I wasn't born here. This is my adopted country. But the country that I served and fought for and like to gave my life for as a veteran, as a military family, and I'm proud to say that my mother and father retired from the military, my brother, sister, cousin, uncles, nephews, nieces, grandmother, grandfather. I deserve to say this as a Christian. We need to pray. Why we can't pray? Why we can't bind the forces of darkness? We need to love, and we definitely need to learn what this brother's about to say. Now, this brother I've been knowing for 14 years. I approve of his messages. I don't have to check him. I'm going to be in the room to make sure don't nobody disturb him. After it is over with, we'll have questions and answers. We now give you Brother Paul for 1 hour and 50 minutes. You now have the mic uninterrupted, Brother Paul.
Well, praise the Lord. Lord, I just want to come to you through your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, let the Holy Spirit speak to me, Lord. I've been praying that any pride or ego or my thoughts get out of the way. And I want your thoughts to come, Lord, and I want you to speak to these distinguished people I have here. I just have a few names. Dr. Montgomery, hello. Pastor Pillman. Dr. Halton. I didn't get the other names. If I forgot somebody, you have to forgive me. I was listening last night.
Go ahead, brother. Dr. Leroy Tilden,
welcome back, or, you know, nice to talk to you again. I don't know quite how to say it. I was listening last night.
They come in the room when you're in.
I'm not that interesting, man. I'm not that interesting. I was listening to some pastors last night. They're street preachers. Praise the Lord for street preachers. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. That's Mark 16:15. Praise the Lord for these people. They really love the Lord, but I was listening to them debate whether Christians can even have demons. And you know what I heard these people say? I think this. I think that. I think that's what this says. You know, I was in that room. This was on YouTube. I was in that room, and there was probably 20, 30 people in the room and then the four pastors. I was the only person putting up scriptures. You know, it really doesn't matter too much what we think. It matters what the Bible says and what the Spirit reveals to us, right? So I was sort of grieved in my heart, you know, and I was trying to make some headway, and I don't know if they really listened to me, but you know, Mark 16:17 is pretty plain. Jesus Christ himself speaking, those who follow me cast out demons, speak in new tongues. Now, I used to go to a large denominational church that told me a lie, that said that somehow ceased with the apostles. What a bunch of junk. I read the Bible for myself and found out that that was not the case. But I think I'm going to start tonight with kind of one of the things that sort of tripped these people up is, okay, you come a born-again Christian, good. Maybe you've been one for 20 years. Maybe you pastor a church. Where do demons lodge in you? You're not a bad person. You know, why would you have demons? Well, let's go to First Thessalonians 5:23, I think it is. Oops, we're over here. First Thessalonians 5:23. This is King James. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, you're three-part beings. You got that flesh that's slowly dying. You got a soul that some people call your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you got your spirit. And your spirit is what gets born again. Your spirit's perfect once Jesus comes to live in you. It never gets tired. It never makes a mistake if we allow the spirit to work. Unfortunately, our mind gets in the way. We think this. We think that. We think the other. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. And the Holy Spirit, he's like a little dove. He gets scared away fast. So you got to get quiet and let the spirit speak to you. Now, Jesus, of course, was all about that. I'll give you some scriptures about how he let the spirit flow through him. You're never going to find in the Bible where you find a verse that says Jesus thought. It's always going to be in his spirit. Mark 2, verse 8. All these will be, I think they're all King James. Mark 2, verse 8. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned with themselves. They didn't say Jesus' spirit perceived in his mind. Okay? Very critical. Mark 8:12. But he sighed, this is speaking about Jesus now, but he sighed deeply in his spirit. His spirit was running him, not his mind. This is why he was so quiet around Pilate, because the spirit was running him and telling him what to do. Does the spirit run you or does your mind run you? Your mind wants to run you. Now, yes, use your mind to cook, to learn how to fix your car or, you know, go to school or something like that. There's good uses for your mind, absolutely. But we're talking about spiritual, and I'm going to stop right here. It's amazing the amount of people I talk to, born-again Christians for 20, 30 years. And I say to them, I say, it's all a spiritual battle, right? Ephesians 6:12, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, brother, yeah, yeah. And immediately they go back in their mind, immediately. So we have this sort of knowing that it's a spiritual battle, but how often do we really perceive it and run in it and fight that battle? Luke 2:40, and the child grew and became strong in spirit. This is talking about Jesus. It didn't say he became strong in his mind. The child grew strong in his spirit. So even as a child, his spirit was getting stronger. Then it goes on to say he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. So your spirit will fill you with wisdom. Your spirit has told me things to do and things not to do. So it's not like your spirit is just dumb to the world. It will lead you if you allow it. Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in his mind. No. Jesus rejoiced in his spirit and said, thank you, Father, the Lord of heaven. You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. He just told you. Let's go back here. Jesus rejoiced in his spirit and said, thank you, Father. He's talking to his Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise. Wise people are in their mind. Luke 12:11. Now, when they bring you up to the synagogue, the magistrates and authorities, do not worry about what you will answer. Some translations put in there what you will say or what you should say. Okay, sorry, Lord. John 6:63. I really like this. When the Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, they are life. That's Jesus speaking. Also see John 7:39, Mark 1:12, and I think that's all I got. So I want to encourage you to talk to your spirit. Talk, encourage your Holy Spirit. Here's what I say. I say, Holy Spirit, in the morning I'll say this. Lead me, guide me, teach me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. And some people I know say, Holy Spirit, you take the wheel. So when I engage my Holy Spirit, when I actively engage him, and he is a he, I don't have that scripture, but trust me, he's a he is more active. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. If we can grieve the Holy Spirit, just common sense tells us we can make the Holy Spirit happy. How do I get in the Holy Spirit? Well, I pray in tongues. I invite the Holy Spirit in, and I listen to him. I try to get alone, no electronic anything, and just listen. Do I always hear something? No, I don't. But many, many times I will. And I want you to really concentrate on that. That's kind of your lesson, your assignment for this week. I want you to really make a conscious effort throughout the day. Holy Spirit, help me, Holy Spirit. He's your helper. He only speaks what God tells him to speak. So he's not going to come up with something that's not in a word. I know last time, and I regret I missed y'all a couple of weeks, but last time, and since this is basic, I want to reiterate the basic tools. I want everybody to, if they can, to get a copy of Pigs in the Parlor and also Frank Hammond's book, Prayers That Rout Demons. I have two of those. I've given them away. I've got more. I'm about worn out my Prayers That Rout Demons. Now, you can get all of this online if you don't want to buy it or whatever. But those are the basic things if you're beginning deliverance ministry. And God wants you to be in deliverance ministry. So what does God say about deliverance ministry? Is it just all do this, don't do that? Now, let's go to Luke 10:20. So Jesus is speaking to the disciples here, and they came back, and they're telling him, and he says, Luke, this is Luke 10:20. Jesus speaking, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice your name's written in heaven. You get a reward. You get a reward by doing this, and the devil hates it. There will be backlash. Be ready for it. Be aware. There will be backlash. Because he doesn't want you to do this. He doesn't want you to get rewarded in heaven. So that to me gives me a lot of joy, this knowing that with all my screw-ups, with all my faults, with all my backsliding, my name is written in heaven. Now I'm getting better, praise the Lord. But I've taught my 9-year-old, well, he was actually 8 years old when he really understood this. So I don't think it's ever too early to get them into some basic concepts of deliverance. My child had a problem in his body, and we were going to take him to the hospital or the emergency room. And I said to him, I said, Daniel, you know this is a demon, right? And he goes, yeah. We came against that thing, man. He was a little warrior. He was going for it, and guess what happened? He was able to cast that demon out and get an immediate healing. So we didn't have to go to the emergency room, and you know, we saved some money. And you don't want to go to the emergency room these days, trust me. You don't want to go to the hospital. So, three parts, spirit, soul, body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. One other thing I want to talk about here is that people go, well, how do we get these spirits? Well, spirits come into you from three ways. Family line, some people call it bloodline, some people call it inheritance, all the same thing. They also come in from our own sin, and they also come in from victimization. Like if you've ever had some sort of tragedy like a car wreck, being shot, have a really bad accident, that is the time when your defenses are down and spirits can come in. So I was trying to find some scriptures on that, and you're going to have to give me just a minute here. Brother John, are you on the line? Can you hear me? Okay, that's all right. That's all right, Brother John. That's all right. No problem. I thought Brother John might want to say a couple of
He's in the learning stage, going through deliverance.
Okay, fine, no problem. Praise the Lord for Brother John. I love Brother John, man.
Brother John,
I have fun when I talk to him.
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm listening.
Hey, Brother John, you okay, man?
Yeah.
You okay?
Man, keep on going. Yeah, you happy?
Keep on going,
man. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, me and my daughter listening to you. Hey, what I say? Me and my daughter.
Your daughter.
Yeah,
your daughter.
Daughter,
oh, man.
Another daughter from Savannah.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. That other daughter. All right. Okay, Brother John. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord for you, man. I love talking to Brother John. Okay. So why do we have authority? What makes us think we can cast out demons? You know, who are we? I'm just a little white boy who came to, some people call me a cracker. I came to Emmett's house many years ago, broken, man. And this big, tough Navy SEAL showed me some grace and some mercy. I mean, so what makes us think we can do this? Glad you asked. Let's go to Luke 10:19. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy." So if you're a follower of Jesus, you have this power, and you get better at it by doing it. I was pretty pathetic when I first started, but I kept going, and I would listen to other people. I'd listen to Win Worley, who I would not recommend for beginners, but I listened to him. Of course, I was around Brother Emmett, who's probably one of the best deliverance ministers that I personally know of in the entire world. There's other ones, Ivory Hopkins, Frank Hammond, John Eckhart. I mean, John Eckhart, he's awesome. So all of them started at grade one or kindergarten. You start there. You got a pain in your foot, spirits are causing pain in my foot, I cast you out in Jesus' name. You have just become a deliverance minister. Anything that comes upon you is from the enemy. He's messing with you. And the quicker you come on it, the more likely and the quicker you're going to get it out of you. And my little 8-9-year-old kid has taught me that. He's really a warrior. Something comes on him and things jump on him. He comes against it, man. Matthew 10:1, Jesus talking to his disciples again, and he called up to him his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, heal all manner of sickness and manner of disease. I'm hearing Brother Emmett. Does somebody else want to go? Get some feedback. Hello? No?
Yeah, can you
you okay?
Me?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I wanted to comment on something.
Sure, man. You got the mic, brother. Go.
You got a Bible. Go to Ezekiel 38:10.
Ezekiel 38:10. Thank you. Here.
Dr. Kilmore, you have some unforgiveness towards your wife, and you need to forgive her, brother, before you come out and get some deliverance. You've been mad with her for 6 months, man, and God can't hear your prayer. 1 Peter 3:16, your prayers will be hindered if you have a problem with your wife. So you have to forgive Dr. Kilmore. Okay, where is Ezekiel 38:10 at?
Ezekiel 38:10, thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan. Thoughts. Ezekiel 38:10,
can you give me the,
thus says the Lord,
can you give me the King,
on that day
it shall, can you give me the King James Version? That's not the King James Version.
That's not King James? You sure?
No.
Okay. All right. You're right. I was on New King James. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. And thus says the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall these things come into thy mind, and that thou shalt think an evil thought. Ezekiel 38:10, King James. Let me say it again.
Right. Now,
and thus says the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought.
Now, I want to connect that with some of you learners who are learning the ministry of deliverance, because the Holy Spirit moved on me to share this. Demons come into your thoughts, and they like to entice you. Now, they entice you with thoughts having negative thinking about somebody. They'll tell you, that person don't care nothing about you. And they'll keep pushing it and keep pushing it. Where is this coming from? Well, Brother Paul, can you read? I can read. There's some noise about it. You got some noise in your background, Brother Paul. Just horrible, man.
Not me, man. No, sir. My house is quiet.
Okay.
No, not here.
All right.
Not
here. I'm getting some feedback. We're up against feedback. Can you read James 1:14?
Okay, and I want to talk about James once we get there, but I'm not going to interrupt you. James 1:14, King James. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Now, wait a minute. It says, and enticed. It didn't say nothing about lust. It entices the demon. Demons like to entice you through your mind. And if they keep working on your mind and keep telling you negative stuff, they can get in there. They get into your thought processes. The Holy Spirit wanted to share that, because a lot of people don't realize that. You got the mic, Brother Paul. I won't say nothing else. The Lord put that in my heart.
No. This is good, man. This is good. I thought, where is it in James that talks about resist the devil and he will flee from you? I thought it was James 4:6.
4:7.
James 1:4-7. Uh-huh. Right below it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Emmett. Okay. I brought this up last time, and I think this is very important, because a lot of ministers, and I keep hearing spirit of gluttony. It just keeps coming in my mind. I don't know. Spirit of gluttony. Okay, Holy Spirit, got it. Somebody out there has a spirit of gluttony.
Somebody out there has a spirit of gluttony. That's the confirmation.
I don't know, brother.
There's nine people. There are nine of them that has the spirit of gluttony.
It won't shut up, man. Spirit of gluttony. Okay, Holy Spirit, got it. Yeah. So somebody out there needs to, you know, work on that and maybe fast from at least one minute. Do something, man. But it's strong. So I don't know who that is. I don't know. They haven't told me. All right. Holy Spirit hadn't told me. James 4:7. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and it bears worth repeating. Lots of people go, well, brother, you know, I resist the devil and he flees from me. I heard that in my Baptist church. I'm speaking now. Heard that in my Baptist church 20 years ago, the same church that told me I couldn't have demons, which is a lie. Oh, brother, I resist the devil. He doesn't mess with me, and I don't mess with him. Praise the Lord. That's what I heard. That was about as far as we got on demons. That's a bunch of junk. Okay? Yes, resist the devil. I agree with that. But let's go back to Mark 16:17. Jesus Christ himself speaking. Jesus will judge you, by the way. That's John 5:22. Jesus Christ speaking, Mark 16:17, King James. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, speak with new tongues. So here we got two things. We got devils inside of us to be cast out. And we got devils outside of us to resist. Okay, resist that cheesecake. Resist that, you know, drink of bourbon. Resist that, you know, that garbage on television. Resist pulling into the strip club to witness to people, right? Resist that from the outside. But in my name, Mark 16:17, in my name they shall cast out devils. So that means you got devils inside you. Me too. I mean, I got both my hands up. They are inside of you to be cast out. And you start on yourself. That's the good news. The good news is you learn on yourself. You don't have to go into heavy-duty spiritual warfare like Emmett does and like I do on rare occasion. Or, say, Brother John, or there's some other people I could name that I know go into heavy stuff. You start on yourself, man. You got a spirit of gluttony? Spirit of gluttony, I bind you and cast you out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of gluttony, I rebuke you and cast you out in the name of Jesus. Search your heart, listeners. Somebody out there has that, and you got to get rid of it, man. God doesn't want you to have it, brother. I love you. And this is why I don't say it to be cool or like I know it all or whatever. So I try to be as humble as I possibly can here. I just praise the Lord for what I've learned in this ministry. And Wynn Worley, and I think Emma talked about this too. It's a beautiful ministry when you get into it, really. It has a lot of, you see a lot of fruit from it. You know, as a minister, you can preach a wonderful sermon, and you never know if it gets to people or not. But when you set somebody free, it's an immediate, not, I don't know about immediate, but it's one of those things that, like, Emmett has a guy he teaches in another country, and I'm not going to name this person. And I saw this person progress. This person had bad demons, man. I mean, wicked, wicked demons. And Emmett would work with that guy, and now that guy is a deliverance minister himself. And I'm not going to mention his name. It doesn't matter. But what's my point? It was such a beautiful thing to see this person get set free. And I barely knew the man. I could see it in his face, and it was so beautiful. He's set free. Now what's he doing? He's helping other people. And I praise the Lord, man. He's in another country that really doesn't have much in the way of deliverance ministers, and he's making a difference over there. So, he's definitely making a difference. So there's another way to look where demons dwell, and this to me, I didn't really understand it till I read it a bunch of times. But you know, when Jesus went to the temple, and he kicked people out, right? Well, they were in the outer courts. They weren't in the Holy of Holies. And he kicked them out of it's the outer court. What is it? The outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies?
Yes.
The outer court, excuse me, the holy place and the Holy of Holies. So Jesus kicked them out of the outer court, and I think it's debatable whether they were in the holy place, but they were definitely in the outer court. And what this is, it's a representation of spirit, soul, and body. In the Holy of Holies, you're born again spirit. If you're a real spirit-filled believer, demons can't get in there. Where can they be? In the outer court in the Holy of Holies. So Jesus is always teaching us something. Greatest teacher ever. Greatest teacher ever. And that's another way to look at it. So when they kicked him out, when he was kicking people out, which were basically demon-possessed people or demon-oppressed people, he kicked them out of the outer court. He never went to the Holy of Holies. Now, I know in those days, you only a certified priest could go in the Holy of Holies, and if you did something wrong, you'd be killed. I know all that, but I'm just trying to give you maybe another example to some of my PhD and doctorate friends out there. Might be a little more, it might make a little more sense to them. I know there's some very learned listeners, and I'm humbled that I would ever teach men of this caliber. So hope that helps somebody. I just happened to think about that. It took me a while really to learn it. So let's jump over to 2 Corinthians 11:4. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he come and preacheth another Jesus which he had not preached, or if he received another spirit. Another spirit is an evil spirit. So whenever somebody is preaching another Jesus and they're all over the television, I'm glad I got rid of television, man. They're all over the place. They're basically preaching, you know, the prosperity pimps and, you know, the sort of once saved, always saved people. They're basically a spirit is preaching through them. And I know that's tough to hear. But they're going to give an account for that. You get a special James 3:1 judgment. But when you're a teacher, and I'm going to go there right now. I don't like I don't like the way the King James says this, but I'm going to read it in the King James. Another translation makes more sense to me, but this is the King James.
Go ahead. Go
My
ahead.
Brethren.
Go get the other translation.
Well, I'm
going to
do both. I'm going to do both.
Yeah.
I'm going to do both.
Okay.
This King James, my brother, be not many masters, knowing that when we will receive the greater condemnation. Now, this is New King James, which doesn't really change the King James much at all, but I, you know, I'll do both. Same scripture, James 3:1. My brother, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. That, to me, makes it more clear. So you better be careful what you teach your flock. Praise the Lord that you're a minister. Praise the Lord that you're serving people. But you better be very careful, man.
You're not just
going to get a pass because you got some title. Praise the Lord for good Bible school. Praise the Lord for learned men. Praise Him. Really, I learned a lot from very smart people, but you're going to get a special judgment, man. And I think it's in Lord, am I right about this? Ecclesiastes 3:19. Am I right about this? No, I'm wrong. Okay. Sorry about that. It is in Ecclesiastes. It talks about how you should teach. I don't want to get into Ecclesiastes. I'm getting off topic here. I think maybe I've thrown a lot out there. And since this is 101. Yes, sir.
Can I share something,
go ahead, brother
Paul? Because me and
Absolutely.
You, we're working together. Everybody, Brother Paul, he's helping me. He's learning, and we love him. I love him, and I have some help. I want to, the Lord moved on my heart when you was talking. Another way that people can get demons is another Jesus. It's a gospel, and Paul warns us of that. And I'll read this. This is in Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, that other gospel, that's the T.D. Jakes. That's the Joel Osteen. That's the Creflo Dollar. They don't deal with demons. They do not deal with demons. You cannot be in a ministry and declaring Jesus Christ as Lord and leaving out a third of what he did on earth. It's just impossible.
Everywhere Jesus went, he was casting out demons. You can't get away from that, man. I mean,
everywhere.
Everywhere you go, casting out demons. And, you know, healing goes hand in hand, generally speaking, when the demons get cast out. Now, I'll read it in New King James. It's almost the same, but I love this scripture, man. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him, talking about God who called you in the grace of Christ. To a different gospel. The New King James just says different gospel. To me, that makes
different,
more sense.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for both translations. I'm not hung up on any translation.
I use
them all. Go ahead, brother. Yes, sir.
Let me show the audience how dangerous it is if you're sitting under somebody that is not listening to the Holy Spirit. Watch how dangerous this is. If you read Galatians 1:7, 8, and 9, I'm going to read it. Galatians 1:7, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert. Look at this.
Oh,
P-E-R-V-E-R-T.
Man.
Pervert. Pervert.
You're a pervert.
Joel Osteen.
Right.
Pervert. Yeah. Joel Osteen. T.T. Jakes. Why
right.
I'm calling these men out? They ain't casting out demons. They just
inspiration. I'll call
them out. That's perverted. Pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, then it says, but though we are an angel from heaven, watch this, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached. Paul preached the correct gospel unto you, let him
yep.
be accursed. So if a pastor's teaching and if it's not coming from the Holy Spirit, he's speaking curses over you.
Right, right.
And this is why people
and he's,
this
he,
is why
he, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
Wait, this is why we don't have the information of the ministry of deliverance. I did not know. I'm 60 years of age. 7-8 years ago, God gave Sister Durden a revelation. And I'm so glad. I did not know I had schizophrenia. And still getting deliverance from it to this day. There's many cases of schizophrenia. How did I get that? The Lord revealed me through another gospel, Roman Catholicism. When I renounced that thing, I renounced Roman Catholicism. I broke that curse in the name of Jesus. I renounce praying to Mary. I don't pray to Mary. I pray to Christ. When I broke that thing and renounced it, as Sister Durden carries me through deliverance, it's like the demons just got out. That was blocking them. So as we seek God, we can all be delivered from any problem that we have. We can all, I have been in the ministry 14 years, and I'm still getting deliverance every Thursday. Every Thursday. I had another demonic spirit try to attack me, and I said, Sister, get this thing out of me. Every time it comes, it's a technical part of the ministry. I don't like it. I never liked it. And the devil knew that, and it opened up a door of me disliking the technical part. I had to get that spirit out of me. So we all have to cleanse ourselves from the flesh and spirit, 2 Corinthians 7:1. We have to cleanse ourselves through his word. You are clean through the word. And if you read the word, the demons don't like you reading the Bible. Now, they don't want you to go there. They will do anything. So remember, there's a perverted gospel out there. It says, who pervert the gospel. It's been perverted. If the deliverance ministry is not mixed with it, if the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit is nowhere functioned, why are you at that church? Now, let me say this here for some of these African-Americans. I'm African-American, so let me say this, nothing against nobody else. But some of you black people that run yourself in these churches getting all emotional and jumping all up and down, and you ain't got no Holy Ghost, you don't cast out no demons, and you say, oh, the ribs sound real good, and you go right back home arguing with your mama, arguing with your husband. You don't have no authority over any demon. The devil ain't going to bother you. He's going to leave you just fine. But the minute you pick up this Bible and let your hands make war with these spirits, according to Psalms 144:1, you will know that they are real. Yes, they're real. I see them. Do I like seeing them? No. Do I want to see them? No. I get tired. And I've been blessed to see them. And they ain't nothing to look at. They're not pretty at all. Very deformed and defiled and have a hate toward human beings. Me and Sister Durkin was doing a deliverance. And this man's eyes turned fire red. He said, something's telling me to hate you, not be around you. You can get demons that make you hate a deliverance minister. I've experienced that. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Yeah, I've seen them twice, and my little boy has seen them. And, you know, the demons really did us a favor because now it made it even more real to him, to my kid. Actually, my little kid's seen him twice, and his mother is in one of these religious things where they stand here and they say this and this, all this kind of stuff. And she tried to talk him out of it, but my little 8-year-old man, he said, no, I've seen him. Now, he knows when to keep his mouth shut, praise the Lord. But, yeah, I've seen him, and he's seen him. And once that happens, it becomes even more real to you. And the
yes,
enemy did us a favor, man. The enemy did me a favor because he ain't gonna be swayed by anybody else. So I want to go back. I want to interrupt you, brother. Go ahead, brother. If you had something, I'm sorry. Sorry. Good.
If a pastor has a gospel that's preached that is not after man but after money, you need to get out of there. Paul says in Galatians 1:11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto me is not after man. Dr. Pelton, I have nothing against you. I'm getting word of knowledge. You sit and think all day. You don't ever ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what do you want me to teach? Why do you keep going to Talman bookstore and buying sermons, man? Go study. You ain't feeding 2 Kings 18. Brother Paul, go to 2 Kings 18:27.
Okay, just a second here.
This is a word of knowledge for you, brother. Nothing against you. But your teaching to gospel, this is what it is to God. He don't like
Second
it because
Kings
you
18,
are not allowed.
2 Kings 18:27. Okay, hang on. I got to switch back
Second,
here. Hang on.
2 Kings 18:26-27.
2 Kings 18:26-27, this King James. Then said Elikam, the son of Hilkah, and Shaban, and Johah, Abun Rabashish. I didn't get those names very well. Speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. And talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But Rabash said unto him, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath not he sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own urine, drink their own piss with
that's
you?
That's what it is. Sorry. That's what it is to God when, Pastor, when you don't come to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter to teach you. You depend on too much on your degrees, man. Now, I'm getting word of knowledge, and I have to say that because you've been wanting to desire deliverance. And when you come into deliverance ministry, you're going to be told word of knowledge of things that you're not going to want to hear. Your heart has to accept the truth. Now, if your heart don't accept the truth, ain't no demons coming out because you are giving them an illegal right to stay in by not changing your heart. Sir, you don't need to be teaching intellectually wise. And please leave Hank Hanegraaff alone. That man is not anointed at all. That man don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit, sir. Amen. All right. That was word of knowledge for you. Okay, Brother Paul.
Okay, I wanna jump around here. How did I miss this? Hang on just a minute. Okay, I want to go back to what you were talking in Galatians 8. I want to go back there because this is very important, extremely important. Galatians 1:8. Oops, hang on. Okay, King James again. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any of the gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You got to get a curse, cursing it by listening to it, and curse it by teaching it. And this is so important that Paul repeats it. I mean, when something is repeated in the Bible, listen up. If any man preach any other gospel unto you that we have received, let him be accursed. So I just want to go back. Whenever I see something twice, I listen, and you need to listen. So be careful, be respectful of a teacher, but be a little Berean. You go check it out. And if it doesn't line up with the
That's
Bible,
right.
You get away from that man. Maybe try to correct him, but if he doesn't want to be corrected, you got to move on. You have got to move on from that person. They're going to give an account. You work out your own salvation, Philippians 2:12. Okay. I want to say something. This, I think, is kind of basic stuff, and I want to start with a scripture here, and I'm going to end with the same scripture I started with, and any purist out there, you're going to have to forgive me. Pray for me. John 14:30, I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has no hold over me. The King James says he has nothing in me. Okay, so when Jesus rolled up on the guardian demoniac, the man in the tomb, he was cutting himself, chains, nobody could bind him. They didn't know what to do with this person, so they chained him on some island somewhere. What happened? The demon immediately had never, the demon had never seen somebody like Jesus before. That demon had been around since people started on this earth. And he immediately said, Son of the Most High, what hast thou in common with me? So the demon was speaking, and what the demon was telling you is that Jesus had the authority to cast out that demon. He sent the demon in the pig. The pig has killed himself. Everybody knows that story. But why did Jesus have this command? Why did Jesus have this power? Because he got everything out of him. This is what he's telling in you in John 14:30. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me. Another translation says he has no hold over me. No, that's okay. So Jesus did everything as a man, everything. Philippians 2:8, I believe it is. He got hungry like a man. He got thirsty like a man. When they were coming to the garden to get him, he said, I could call down a legion of angels. But he never did. He did everything as a man. Yeah, Philippians 2:8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
And being formed in a fashion of a man, he humbled himself, this is King James, and became obedient unto the death. So he did everything as a man. Let me slip back to here, Philippians 2:7. He made himself of no reputation. You know, Jesus had no title. He didn't go to Bible school. He didn't even have the New Testament. He had no reputation. He was just Jesus. He made himself, and I'm not against Bible school. Don't turn the dial. He made himself of no reputation. That's what I want to be, of no reputation. And he took upon himself of a servant. Are you a servant? Are you a servant to your people? And was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, being formed in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. They beat that man to a bloody pulp for you and me. They beat the living, you know what, out of him. And he didn't say a word. He did everything as a man. What's my point? He became the number one all-time deliverance minister because he got everything out of him so the demons wouldn't have anything in him to latch on to. Because demons, Gwen Worley taught me this, demons scan you. Whatever they can get a hold of you, they'll do it. You're a glutton, they'll send glutton demons. You like pornography, they'll send you a pornography demon. You like, money, shopping, tickling your ears, they'll send those demons for you. But Jesus had none of this. This is why any time he just made nothing out of a demon, man. Just like he was flicking his fingers and he just squashed those demons. The good news is you can do the same thing because Jesus did everything as a man. Don't miss this. Philippians 2:8, he found himself in the fashion of a man. I'll listen to anybody that wants to tell me anything he did not as a man. Now, I'm not talking about the ascension. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about when he ascended. I'm not talking about the virgin birth. Yes, I know you weren't born of a virgin. Okay, neither was I. And the good news is we can do the same thing as Jesus. No, I don't compare myself to Jesus. He's my boss. But he made an example. So if we get all this stuff out of us, like Mark 16:17 commands us to do, then we can become more powerful and more powerful and more powerful for the kingdom. Not for us, because generally speaking, when you cast demons out of people, and I've done it some. I know Emmett can testify about this. People don't, they're not going to write you a $1 million check and give you a mansion, okay? They're going to thank you and move on. Most of them, sadly, or a lot of them are going to go back on their old sin and get worse. Really sad, but that's really not our fault. Let's go to Matthew 12:35. Where is the seven back coming back worse? Matthew 12:35. Okay, I'm gonna have to. Oh, maybe it's 12:45. Okay, 12:45. 12:44. The 12:43. When the unclean spirit had gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return from my house from whence I came out, the houses of the demon's body. And once I come, he find it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he go and take seven more wicked spirits than himself and enter therein. Well, the last state of man is worse than the first. This is Matthew 12:43-45. I made this mistake. I got some really heavy-duty deliverance from Brother Emmett, and I went back to sin, very common to man, which I've completely out of now. And seven worse came in. So you got to really be careful to tell your people you've got to get rid of whatever's causing them to sin, and then the spirits won't come back. This is extremely important because I've seen people and known of people that did this. The last state was worse than the first and ended up dying. Now, that's true. I only knew of one person that happened to, but this is very serious. So I hate to end on a serious note, but I think it might be time for some questions or maybe comments. And if I miss something or misquoted, maybe somebody could help me out on that. So, brother, are you still there? Could you help me out, or brother, or anybody?
okay, I don't hear nothing. I'll keep going. Praise the Lord. All right. So even the disciples were susceptible to demons. Peter, when he denied. So don't think that, you know, you can easily reach a state like Jesus did to be free of them. It's going to take a lot of work. And as Emmett talks, he's been going 14 years. I need to correct Brother Emmett on one thing, that I've only been with him about 10 years. So I wanted to correct that. It's no big deal. So 1 Corinthians, I want to go back to Matthew 10:1. And when he called him his 12 disciples, give them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Very, very important to realize you have the power. What are you doing with your power? Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and the power of the enemy. That's Luke 10:19. 2 Corinthians 1:4. For he cometh preach another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you preach another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel ye have not accepted, ye might bear with him. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us of power of darkness and translated in the kingdom of his dear son. So we can get free of these. But we have to really be consistent in our deliverance. I had a guy who I worked with, and he was getting some deliverance. He even knew about deliverance. I gave him a book on it. And he got a few demons out of him, and he stopped. And I followed up on him, and he said he just didn't want to do it anymore. And he had got just a little bit of deliverance, and he thought that was enough. And this man had some serious problems, but he decided he didn't want to get, I don't know what he went back into. There's another question that comes up from time to time, is possession or oppression? And I've never seen or met a person that's completely possessed, because a completely possessed person can really not operate in society. Brother Emmett, you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here.
All okay.
Right.
I didn't know if anybody had questions or maybe comments. Bro, if we want to wrap some up here. Let me just finish this thought real quick. Most of the people that are listening to us, you're probably not going to meet a person that's completely demon-possessed. They're extremely rare, and they're probably in a mental hospital. So don't worry about that. You're probably going to deal with oppression. And what I want to do is I've done my study on this. That is going to be my topic for next time. We might be in Deliverance 102 next time. So don't worry about that. People tend to get a little bothered about that. Don't worry about that right now. Is there any questions or maybe some comments?
I wanted to make a comment on something.
Sure, brother.
When you really want to get free of demons, let me give you an example. I want to put my life on the line for a minute. Before I was saved, I was a drug dealer after I got out of Special Forces. And I began to run guns from Atlanta to Miami to New York. And as a drug dealer, I got hooked on cocaine, and I started smoking crack. Well, make a long story short, I got tired. I was tired of living like that. And I called out. I backslid. And I was with Fellowship of Faith. I backslid it. And I said, Lord Jesus of Nazareth, I don't want this no more. And the Lord told me that I didn't know him the way I know him. I heard some say, go in there and take a shower. When I took a shower, white smoke came out of my mouth. I saw it come out. Now, 2 days after that, I had everybody trying to give me crack cocaine. I stumbled. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, listen to this. I stumbled, and just as soon as I got that demon cast out of me, I'm back smoking it because it's all around me. That lasts for 3 days. I said, wait a minute. My flesh, and something told me, that's your flesh. I began to move away from friends. I began to fast. I began to pray. I came out from under them, 2 Corinthians 6:17. I separated myself from people, and I haven't touched crack cocaine in 39 years. You can get free. Now, I am dealing with areas of schizophrenia in my life. I'm getting delivered from it. The Lord has shown me little pieces of it. And if you commune with the Lord, with his word, and check everything that people tell you, including what I say, what Brother Paul says, I don't care who they are, check the scriptures. I want to read something to you about that. Why is it important? Here in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul and Silas was teaching somewhere. And it says in Acts chapter 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, B-E-R-E-A, Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. That's the place of worship. These was more notable than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and, watch this, search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They did it every day. You have to do it every day. You have to check the scriptures with someone teaching you. Write it down. Take notes. Go back and rehear it again. Recapitulate yourself with it, because this is a beautiful ministry. It's a ministry that takes a lot of labor with people. It takes a lot of time. That's why a lot of pastors don't want to get into it. It takes months, sometimes a year or two for a case. But there's constantly progress. And I know it works. I believe in this ministry. It's a rejected ministry. It's not popular. The world don't like this ministry. Now, if you're a deliverance minister, you're being liked by the world. Everybody can see what I'm going through. My YouTube was taken down, and I got permission from Derek Prince ministers in both countries. And when they retracted the claim, they called me and said, is your ministry up yet? I said, no, sir. And that brother told me, he said, they don't like deliverance ministers on YouTube. He said, the world don't like to hear this. But I'm going to get back on. Thank God for where I'm at now. The Lord is telling me that if you guys pray and fast, it'll break a lot of yokes. We're talking about self-deliverance. Fast. Jesus says you don't know what spirit you're of, Luke 9:63. You don't know what's in you, but the Lord knows what's in you. And let the Lord reveal it. All right, I'm going to turn this back over to Brother Paul.
I'm really kind of done today. I'm not set up to do my oppression versus possession. I want to, maybe somebody came in late or whatever. I just want to go over again. If there's any questions or comments, you know, I'll try to do my best to answer them. Just your basic stuff. Pigs in the Parlor, or Frank Hammond. You can get a used copy for $7 on eBay or Amazon. John Eckhart, Prayers That Rout Demons. There's a lot of material on the internet about deliverance, even from when I started 10 or so years ago. So there's a lot of good stuff, but just Emmett's teachings, you know, when he gets his channel back up, that you could spend years on that. But I think a book is good, because that way you got it right there, and it's you know, you don't have to turn the computer on and all that kind of stuff. So, and anything by Derek Prince, I would once again caution new people against Win Worley. I think he's for advanced people. Emmett kind of got me. I know Emmett didn't do this on purpose. I don't got any ill will against Emmett, but Emmett kind of threw me into the Win Worley kind of quick, and it was too much. Win Worley taunts and talks to demons. That's very dangerous. So leave Win Worley in the back burner. I have Win Worley's booklets here in my little place, but just that's for advanced people. And there's a guy on the internet,
get one more thing, brother. A man named Noah Hines, Noah, and then H-I-N-E-S, just look that up on YouTube. He does some real basic stuff. He would be good. Go ahead, brother.
Another thing to teach you deliverance and put it in your spirit. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's when I started at the hospital with Chaplain Durden, the Lord told me, go to Mark. I read the book of Mark 9 times in 1 week. And then he said, go to Matthew. Then I read Matthew 9 times in 1 week. Then Mark, Luke, John. Then he said, go back to Mark. And I kept going back to Mark because Mark gives more account of demons than in any other synoptic gospels of the apostles. And then I went back again and again and again, and then the Lord said, go on the internet and look up demon. In every scripture in the Bible, I went through it. That's how you learn the enemy. You have to know your enemy. You have an invisible enemy. You can't see him unless the Lord open it up in the spirit realm and show it to you. 2 Kings 6:17, open my eyes that I may see. There's the word of gift of discerning of the Holy Spirit. Ask Lord to show it to you if he wants you to see him. But the more important is that you discern them. You don't have to see them. Now, oppression, the Holy Spirit, you cannot oppress. When a person is born again and saved, a demon cannot affect that spirit man who got saved. Let me show you something in John chapter 3.
He can affect the soul and the body. He can affect the soul and the body. John 7, brother. Right.
In John chapter 3, verse 1.
Okay.
The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Then came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the womb the second time, into his mother's womb, and be born? He's thinking natural. He's not thinking spiritual. Then Jesus said and answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. No demon can oppress the spirit of the Holy Ghost, period. Impossible. You can be oppressed, but you cannot be possessed. Now, through the 14 years of deliverance, I have done 12 exorcisms with Satanists. Me and Sister Durden have done 4 together. And that ball game is totally different, and I don't even want to go into that. There's no one. That's a different level. But let me say this:
That's not for a beginner. No. Well, any beginners do not attempt that. Do not. Yeah.
Stay away from it. Let me say something else. And you beginners who are out here teaching, you got to live what you teach. Leave the familiar spirit alone. You start talking about that thing, and you keep messing with that familiar spirit, it will come back and aggressively attack you. Make sure that when you are teaching the ministry of deliverance, is that you know the word, is that you can commune with the Holy Spirit, because it's going to take revelation to know these demons. God has to give you a revelation towards your personal life of what's in you. We're talking about you. Work out your own salvation. This is the key. Because if you can do that, you can do deliverance successfully without me, without Brother Paul, or without Sister Durden. Learn self-deliverance. Come out of me. Whatever's in me, come
out.
I tell schizophrenic, you come out of me.
Absolutely.
I said, mild case or whatever. I don't care what level you are. You come out of me. I said, every morning.
Right.
Every morning I said, come out of me.
I want to repeat what I repeated last time, is that every session I do with Emmett, and praise the Lord for Emmett and Sister D, I just honor them. I probably do, let's say our session's an hour. Let's say it's an hour. Usually it's less. during the course of a week, I'll do 10 hours, maybe more, of my own self-deliverance. So once again, Mark 16:17, start on yourself.
Wow.
Work on yourself.
Yep.
Work on yourself. And one reason I'm so easy for them, and that's what they say, that's them talking, not me, because I wasn't easy when I started. But one reason I'm so easy is because I've done so much of myself. So when I get a session with them, which I really, really covet, don't take my session to anybody out there. When I really covet that session, I'm ready. I'm ready to really get with it, get serious. I'm not looking for them to deliver me. I'm looking for them to help me in my deliverance journey, probably be a way to say it.
That's right, as agreement. That's right. How can two come together unless they agree? Amos 3:3.
Right.
If the deliverance minister and the person who's getting delivered both have to be on one accord. Where there are two or more gathered together, therefore there I am in the midst. So Christ is in the midst of it. If there's unity in the brethren, we have unity, Psalms 133, verse 1. There's no strife, but love, that kills demons. So it's the deliverance minister and the person in agreement. It's not me. I can't cast no demon out of nobody. It's the name of Jesus in me. I'm not about to, because they'll rip me apart without Christ. It's the Lord Jesus in me with my faith and your faith.
Right.
It takes faith to get deliverance. Jesus said, ye have no faith. That's why you couldn't cast these demons out. You have little faith. So
seven sons of Sceva learned that. I'm sorry, brother.
You have to grow in faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. So you have to believe in you. I know I can do this. I believe that Jesus tell me that I can cast this out. You got to have your faith. You can't use my faith. You got to use your own faith. And faith comes through trials, tribulation, and I hate to say this, suffering. And don't nobody like to suffer. Don't nobody want to do no suffering. That's another Jesus. But when you get that faith to develop your faith by staying, I listen to Derek Prince. Now, that's my main mentor. I mean, when I go to bed at night, he's going to be on. 11 o'clock, Derek Prince is beaming from 11 o'clock at night. I wake up in the morning, I still hear him. I've been doing that 14 years. I have to. I deal with people with so many demons. I get people to take it out, get mad at me. I know it's not them. So I'm on front line. I don't have the luxury to be in R&R watching TV all day. Nothing wrong with it. But spend a lot of time in that word. Take some time and say, Lord, I'm going to spend some time between me and you. And when you do that, and when it becomes personal, and then he's going to start telling you what's in you, and then he's going to start breaking you down and putting you in the potter's house and mold you, you have to let him do that. You have to humble yourself. Without being humble, there is no deliverance. Without forgiving people, there is no deliverance. If you have any animosity and bitterness against anybody, you cannot get any deliverance. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
That's great, man. I mean, I agree. It's you're going to have some suffering, but Jesus suffered for you, listener. Jesus suffered, and he didn't even deserve it. He suffered a million times more than what you'll ever suffer. So your little bit of suffering is transitory. So, yes, I'm glad Brother brought that up. The demons are going to fight you. You're coming up against something that other people don't want to take on. That's why it's not taught in almost all churches. It's pathetic because they don't want the pushback. But I don't care anymore. I don't care. I get it, and I don't like it, but I know I'm getting somewhere, and just this is a personal note, is one of the reasons I do is because the devil almost killed me twice, and I hate him so bad. I have this humongous hate for the enemy, and that's one of the reasons I do it. Really, is I really do it because of hate, and you know that's like a second reason. The first reason is because Jesus commanded me in Mark 16:17. All right, we're winding down here, brother, on time. We got any questions, or we just want to wrap it up, or what do we want to do?
I want to say something before we wrap it up. To make sure, to give you an assurance that demons cannot dwell in your spirit, but they can attack the outside and your soul. And it's an example of a hole in the wall in the book of Ezekiel. In the temple of God, God showed Ezekiel demons in the hole in the wall. And he said in Ezekiel 8:7, and he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Now this is the temple of God. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I have digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall around about. And there stood before them 70 men of ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jasemath, the son of Shaphath, and every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Demons was in the hole in the wall in the temple of God. Why? Abomination. So your body has to be crucified. Your soul has to get the spirits out. And your spirit, that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, need to be fed by reading the Word of God. And your faith will be able to increase as you hear the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now the Lord is moving upon me that there he's going to bring some healing. Someone's been crying out and praising and telling the Lord to heal them, and they've been hurt. There's a lot of people hurt. I'm going to put a song in that's going to bring us to a level. And when this song is over, we're going to pray over people, and we're going to do a deliverance. I feel led for a mass deliverance. Amen. My best friend from Spanish Town, Jermaine Edwards. My best friend from Spanish Town, Jermaine Edwards.
I come just now to say thank you, O King. I come just now to say thank you, O King. I come just now to say thank you, O King. You're not just a part of my life, but my everything.
Okay,
your love reaches way down deep within. Past this human understanding, there will always be a song for you. One word alone just can't express my heart's desire. Gratitude for one more day my needs supply. Your warm embrace and tenderness. Patience with me through all my mess. I come to one conclusion. You are the best. Hallelujah to our King. Hallelujah. I will sing. You are great. All on earth. King. Kings, oh, you are the lily of the valley, oh, Lord, you are the reason why today, oh, oh, hallelujah to our King.
At the door, we all struggle with some type of problem. We are all on earth as human beings struggle against the forces of darkness every day. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Father, we ask that you give us mercy. Give us grace. Help us get it right, Lord. Help us change. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your comfort. We come in the holy name of Jesus of Nazareth, calling upon you to free us. We ask for all diseases to be cured. We speak against any diseases in our lives. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We exercise our faith in you. We ask that you increase our knowledge toward demonology and understanding the forces of darkness that comes against us. Lord, we come up against worry. If anyone who's worrying, we pray that the peace of Shalom Christ be upon you. Doubt, skepticism, unbelief, fear, nervousness, tension, headaches, nervous habits, restlessness, we come up against you, spirits. When you ask to leave all of these brothers alone and go, we come up against sensitivity to self-awareness, fear of man, fear of disapproval, sexual sins, lust. We come up against the spirit of gluttony. We come up against the spirit of self-delusion, self-seduction. We come up against all mind-binding spirits, spirits of confusion, fear of man, fear of failure, occult spirits, spiritualism spirits. We come up against mind idolatry, spirits of intellectualism, rationalization, pride, and ego. We come up against all mental illnesses. We come up against schizophrenia. I ask it to come out of me in different levels that's in me, come out of me. We come up against the spirit of paranoia, jealousy, envy, suspect, distrust. We come up against spirits telling you not to trust nobody. We come up against spirits that's making people hate people and not loving people. how God has had made us to love, which is your first commandment. We can come up against addictions. There's someone out here that's dealt with nicotine. We come up against the spirit of nicotine. There's another person that has a problem of different snuff. We come up against the snuff spirit. There's a problem if someone is dealing with pornography. We ask that the Lord give them mercy and grace and comfort them and repent and get back up. When you fall, get back up. I don't care who you guys are. I'm talking to you as a brother. Get back up. The righteous fall seven times. I'm here to, the Lord told me to encourage you all. You need encouragement. Some of you have been rejected. Christ has been rejected. I was rejected. I'm in a rejected ministry. I remember my mother told me, I'm sorry you was born. And did that bring some spirits of rejection into my life? I am a blessing to be here. I don't even deserve to be talking to any of you. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve the mercy and the love that God has for us and the kindness and the compassion that he has for us every morning. The Lord loves you. We love you. Live Deliverance loves you. I pray that you've been blessed. Thank you, Brother Paul, for letting you come in and exchange with me. I thank you for your time and participation. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. And I want to close with my favorite song. I tell you, I love Jermaine Edwards. I want to close, and as I close, put your mind on the Lord and what you heard. Close your eyes and give thanks to the Lord through this praise song. God bless. If you'd like to sow a seed here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio, go to www.livedeliverance.com and you can go to your PayPal site. We need the contributions. We do need it. And you can contribute at livedeliverance.com on the lower left-hand side of our PayPal device. My best friend out of Spanish Town, Jermaine Edwards.
Tell you about the man that died for me, paid it all when he died on Calvary. Wonder why he would have really loved me. Not only that, he turned around and gave me mercy. I know everybody out there can testify to this. If it wasn't for the love, he wouldn't exist. I want to call his name every minute, every second, every hour. When you're weak and strong, sing Jesus, this power in the name of
Jesus,
this strength in the name of
Jesus,
this healing in the name of
Jesus,
oh,
Jesus,
oh, oh.
Jesus,
this joy in the name of
Jesus,
this peace in the name of
Jesus,
this love in the name of
Jesus.
My Jesus Christ, he did for you and you. But there's a secret that I know my Father cannot do. He makes the flowers bloom, turn morning into noon. He gave our body nerves that we can feel his every move. I know my God's alive, look into the blue sky. It's just a miracle how we survive. But now I know I serve you, Lord, till the day I die. Father God, I will forever power in the name of
Jesus,
healing in the name of
Jesus,
deliverance in the name of
Jesus,
yeah,
Jesus,
yeah,
Jesus,
this strength in the name of
Jesus,
this joy in the name of
Jesus,
this peace in the name of
the name of
Jesus.
He's the healer. He's the doctor.
Jesus.
He's the deliverer. Just call the name of
Jesus.
You remember when you have no money in the pocket and you call the name of
Jesus.
You believe by faith that he will provide because he's Jehovah Jireh. Anywhere you are right now, you could be driving in your car. Just know the name. Just know the name. Power in the name of
Jesus.
This joy in the name of
Jesus.
Believe in the name. There's no other name that's high above all the names. Oh,
thank the Lord Jesus for every last one of you. Thank you for participating. We thank the Lord for all of you, all of our audience. This is Jermaine Edwards from Island Records. He's a friend of mine. God bless all of you. God bless the Ministry of Deliverance. Shalom. Island Records. God bless Shalom. God bless Jamaica. God bless Jamaica. God bless the United States. And God bless Kingston, Jamaica. Good night.